Invitation. I trust we answer that in our own lives today. Let us turn this morning to the 23rd chapter of Job. Job 23. And let us go down to verse 13. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desires, even that he does. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. I want to speak this morning on God's appointments. As we find in verse 14, he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. It speaks, of course, of God's personal appointment for Job. He was talking about this sickness, this difficulty that he had in his own body, and that was indeed appointed for me, appointed by God. The first thing I want to see today is that there are two appointments which God has decreed and ordained that all men, without fail and without exception, are going to keep. You'll find it in Hebrews 9:27, where we find it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. All men are appointed to die. All men are appointed to judgment. The good news is that believers have already kept both of those appointments. The day we accepted Christ is the day that God counts. We met our appointment with death because we died in the Lord Jesus Christ. We also, as we accepted Christ, kept the appointment with judgment because God accepts the fact, pronounces the fact that the judgment which fell upon Christ was mine. Jesus bore that judgment for me. And therefore, the government of God is fully satisfied insofar as the judgment which was due me. But as we see from our present text, He performs the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are, many such appointments are with him. It means that God wants to make many appointments or choices or decisions in our behalf. He makes them for us personally. And Job understood that glorious truth. Now the fact is that all men do not allow God to make their appointments for them. All men do not accept the appointments that God would make in their behalf. But there are many of them. As I meditated on these verses, I began to wonder what type of people, what type of persons allow God to make such appointments in their lives. Psalm 37:23 says it this way, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." So it is a good man who will allow his steps to be ordered of God. Psalm 31:15 says, "My times are in thy hands." And so we find that there are some who are willing to commit their times into the hands of the Lord and allow God to direct their path and to choose the things that come in to their lives. There is a special character in people like that. We find that Job is one of them. Job was of that character where he could say, as we find again here in verse 14, he performs a thing that is appointed for me. He allowed God to appoint that, and there are many things. So what type of person does that? Who can say before God that he makes my decisions and I will abide by his appointments? Job was such a man. God had already pronounced him a good man, or indeed the scripture calls him a perfect man. We also find that God told Satan, "You've moved me against this man without cause." We have pointed out many times that Job didn't do anything to deserve the treatment that he got. Nor was it because that he had failed to do something. God said, "You moved me against him without cause." The reason that Satan came against Job is because God appointed it for him. And so we find out that God does exactly the same thing in our lives today. I want to notice a little bit about this very special character that Job had. Let us back up to verse 8. And here we find Job was a man of faith. In verse 8 we read, "Behold, I go forward, he's not there. Backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he does work, but I cannot behold him. He hides himself on the right hand. I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Notice the experience that Job had already had with God. As he says here, "I go forward, but he's not there. I look into the future and I don't see any end to this difficulty that I have. I look backward." Job could look back on his life, and scripture here in these verses in Job are full of the fact that God did take care of him. God did deliver him. But at this particular time, he can't see any evidence of that in his life. And then he looks on the right hand. The right hand is the right hand of power, and I'm sure that Job understood the power of God that delivered him over and over again, but he doesn't see it now. Then he looks on the left hand. The left hand is the left hand of weakness. There are times that God delivers us in very weak ways. We are not really ready to call out the bass brand, so to speak. We're not ready to testify all of that. And yet it's deliverance that God has given us in ways of weakness. But Job can't even find that. However, this man of faith makes this wonderful statement. He knows the way that I take. Of course he knows the way I take because he chose it. He knows the way that I take. And faith springs beyond the circumstance that he's in and says, I know that I shall come forth as gold. Faith decrees that Job would come forth learning the lesson that God intended for him to learn. Then in verse 11, we find that this man is a faithful man. There is a difference in having great faith and being faithful. Paul said, though I have faith to remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. There are people that would boast in their great faith to get all of these things done. But there is something greater than just having great faith. And that is a man that is faithful. We read it in the Proverbs. Who can find a faithful man? God can, and God does, and Job was such a man. He was faithful. Verse 11, my foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. That's not boasting on Job's part. It's a matter of his own heart commitment to the Word of God and to the ways of God. He was faithful to walk in the ways of the Lord, his steps being ordered by the Lord. Neither have I kept back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That's the testimony of a faithful man who loved the Word of God and who took it indeed unto his own life. Verse 13 tells us of a man who was submissive unto God. He is in one mind. Who can turn him? What his soul desires, even that he does. Let us understand that God is not sovereign when he comes to our lives. He does not come down and make us do this or that or something else. He does not enforce his will upon us. We have to give him permission to do it. And that's exactly what Job has done here. He is in one mind. Who can resist him? I will submit to the will of God. And then we come to verse 14 where he performs the thing that is appointed for me. There are many in the Scripture who have followed this same pattern as we find here with Job. Many examples of those who experience the fact that God made their choice for them. There was a man by the name of Saul who would become the king of Israel. This man was out chasing asses. And it is that very thing that brought him to the door of Samuel the prophet in order to testify to him and to anoint him king of Israel. The asses in Scripture are always symbolic of chasing the ways of that old rebellious flesh. And how many times has God used even those things to bring us where he wanted us to be in order that we might have our appointment with Samuel or the man of God? This is an appointment that God makes even in our lives. Surely it was no accident the day that the Ethiopian eunuch was sitting in his chariot and he had an appointment with God in the person of Philip, who expounded to him the wonder and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was God who had an appointment with Saul of Tarsus, knocked him down on the road to Damascus, and he told Ananias later, he's a chosen vessel unto me. God has all sorts of ways in order to bring us to his appointed time for our lives. There are many of them, as I say, throughout the Scripture, but I want to just trace one of them this morning. Two incidents that we will see. Let us go back to the book of Genesis. Chapter 28. This is the story of Jacob. And Jacob has been maligned, misjudged, decreed to be an absolute scoundrel, a thief, a deceiver, all of these various things. But I want to notice today that God looked upon this man as a man of faith. God looked upon him as one whom he could order his steps. And I want to see two appointments that Jacob kept with God, and both of them so very beneficial to his life. Here in this 28th chapter of Genesis, let us go down to verse 11. And we read that he, that is Jacob, lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. There is very interesting circumstance as to how Jacob arrived at this appointment with God. As I have said, God will use anything under the sun in order to bring us where he wants to be. This is a time after Jacob has been forced to flee from his brother Esau. And now then, God has brought him out into the middle of the desert, so to speak, and it is a nighttime for him. God has various ways of bringing us also into nighttime experiences alone with himself. And so here is Jacob. And then we read, as we see in verse 12, he dreamed and he saw this ladder set upon the earth. That ladder is none other than a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1:51 says it this way, as Jesus was speaking to Nathanael. Hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Jesus is the only bridge between heaven and earth. He is the only access that there is to God and to heaven. This is exactly what God does when he brings us to his appointments with himself. He wants us to be introduced more indeed unto the Lord Jesus Christ and his wonderful provisions for us. You will notice here in verse 13, behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and of God and of Isaac. And the land whereon thou layest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. In thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with thee. I'll keep thee in all places whither thou goest. I'll bring you again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I've spoken to thee of. The Lord himself reiterates and makes this promise of the Abrahamic covenant directly real to Jacob. As I said, there are so many that just completely misjudge this man and accuse him of so many things, but this is the testimony of God. This is the appointment of God directly with Jacob to confirm the Abrahamic covenant to him. Years later, God would say, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And the reason he hated Esau is because that Esau despised his birthright. People like to say that, oh, he was a deceiver, he was a thief, he was a robber. No, Esau sold his birthright willingly. Jacob didn't go under any kind of pretense in that matter, and God hated Esau for it. God loves those who will reach out and lay hold of the depths of his provision. And that's exactly what Jacob did. And so this particular appointment with God is where that he really heard the glorious and wonderful promises that God had given to him. Jacob was like many of us. This is one of the reasons I love to study this man, because he is so like unto us. God has given him all these glorious promises. This is a real encounter, a real appointment with God. But in verse 16 we read, Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. How many times have we had a certain encounter, a certain appointment with God, and we just didn't even know it? We didn't even recognize it. Surely this thing was from God, and I didn't actually realize what was happening in my life. Verse 17, he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. That is exactly who Jesus is. He is the access unto God. In all of his glorious provisions and wonders that he has provided for us there at the cross of Calvary, Jacob finally recognized this is the house of God. This is the place of fellowship with God. This is the place of learning insofar as God is concerned. And again, gives us access into all the glories and treasures of heaven. And in verse 18, he rose up early in the morning. He took the stones he did put for his pillow. He set it up for a pillar, poured upon oil upon it, and he called the name of that place Bethel. Bethel means house of God. Now, it was Luz at the first. That means perverse. But when we have an appointment with God, I'll guarantee you things are going to change. And so now this place, this perverse place, becomes the very house of God. And how many times has he used that in our lives, that perverseness and things that were against us, God has turned around in order to open up all of these wonderful blessings of the Lord. Verse 20. He vowed a vow saying, if God. This is why I say that we may be exactly like Jacob many times in our lives. God gives us these glorious promises, and the scripture says the promises of God are yea and in him amen. But we don't always take it. We don't always accept it. We don't always get the full intent and purpose of this appointment with God. But again, I am so rejoiced and marvel at the wonder and the glory of the grace of God, because God didn't reprimand Jacob here. He didn't tell him, listen, boy, you need to lay hold of this right now, and if you don't, forget it. There are many who actually see God in that light, but that's not a revelation of the God of the Abrahamic covenant, the God of all grace. If God be with me, and if he'll keep me in the way that I go, and if he'll give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. At this point, Jacob is not the man of faith that we saw in Job. But you see, God, in his matchless grace, is willing to work with us, willing to lead us, willing to bring us to another appointment with himself in order that we might grow up into Christ in all things and indeed achieve what God had in mind for us. Jacob was able to go his way at this time. And we find he went down to Haran. He went down where he wanted to go. He married two wives. and they had two handmaids. And with those four women, God built the house of Israel, the 12 tribes from these that Jacob had. But there is much more for Jacob. He called it here once again Bethel, the house of God. That became a very, very important landmark in Israel's history. It was a very important landmark in Jacob's history. Because somewhere around 20 years later, Jacob had another encounter, another appointment with God. Let us turn to Genesis 32. And we will pick up our story with verse 24. And again we see it. Jacob was left alone. This is one of the major points about our encounters, our appointments with God. He often isolates us. There may be a whole lot of people around us, but we are actually isolated in spirit unto the Lord. And so Jacob was left alone. We'll not read these intervening verses, but if you read the 31st chapter, verse 13, you'll find that God spoke to Jacob and he said, I am the God of Bethel and I want you to go back to the land. Jacob was not moving and doing that on his own. And again, if you read the record, God used certain circumstance in order to literally kick him out of the land of Haran, where that he would go back to the land of Canaan, the glorious place of blessing. The only great problem that Jacob is having at this point is he is still very much afraid of Esau, from whom he had fled 20 years earlier. He has found out that Esau is on his way with 400 men, with blood in his eyes, so to speak, according to the report that Jacob had. Jacob has done everything he can in order to protect himself. He's divided this little land, this little band he had. He separated his cattle, all of these things, trying to give as much protection from Esau as he can. And that's when we pick up the story here. He was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. God, once again, will make our appointment where we are, as it were, wrestling one-on-one with God. There is no one else around at this time. God has something for me. As Job said, he has appointed this for me. And Jacob recognized that at this point. And you remember the story, I'm sure, in verse 25. When this angel saw he prevailed not against Jacob, he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. This is a lesson that you and I must learn in perhaps more than one of our appointments with God. He touched the hollow of his thigh, or the socket, or the hip. It means he dislocated Jacob's hip. Do you know how painful that can be? And yet, Jacob still held on. Now, we know that the angel could have departed any time he wanted to. But when he touched his hip, it means that he weakened Jacob. And this is a lesson that God would have us to learn in his appointments with us. We learn a scriptural treasure, a scriptural truth, a scriptural fact. We do not prevail by power or strength, but rather by weakness. Paul said it this way, when I am weak, then am I strong. And this is exactly what Jacob learned. It was only after he was weakened, Only after that he lost all of his own strength and power that he got what he wanted. In verse 26, he said, "Let me go, the day breaks." He said, "I'll not let thee go except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob," that is the supplanter. And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." This is such a tremendous blessing that Jacob received at this appointment with God. He had a wonderful name. He supplanted Esau. He took his place, as the scripture had said. But God had something greater in mind for him, something more wonderful for him. And so he changed his name to Israel in order to testify of that. And so his name, Prince, or Prince with God. As a prince, thou hast power with God. There are many in our world who just love to testify and to boast of having the power of God. Some having received wonderful gifts of the Spirit which display the power of God. And that is everything to them. But I want for us to realize that power with God is far greater than the power of God. Power with God means that we actually have an inside track with God. Some don't like those terms and don't like to see it in that way. But I'll tell you, there are some of people of faith that have a greater influence on God than do others. Abraham was one of them, able to persuade God with Sodom and Gomorrah. God listens to such people. That's the power that we want. Power with God as a prince of God. And Jacob had that at this particular point. You read the rest of the story, once again we find that it took a while for him to take on that new identity. He kept calling himself by the name of Jacob time after time after time. God had already said, "You're Israel. You have power with God." But it took a while before Jacob was able to actually take that unto himself and act on this tremendous encounter that he had with God. And so we read here, "You have power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And again, it is not by his strength that he prevailed. He became a prince with God because of his weakness. And we learn the same truth. Verse 29, Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Why do you ask my name?" And he blessed him there. And then in verse 30, we come to the final portion of this encounter, this wonderful appointment that Jacob had with God. He called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Peniel. It means the face of God. This is what God wants to accomplish by his tremendous appearances unto us, by the appointments that he makes with us. He would have us see God, know him up close and personal, even face to face. Job had the same overall experience with God, the same result. If you read Job 42, you will find that after all of the encounter that he had with God, and those end chapters tell us of the one-on-one experience as God asked him a whole barrage of questions. And after all that was over, then Job came to this conclusion. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Face to face with God, exactly as Jacob had at this particular point. This is one of the great things that God wants to accomplish in our lives through these various appointments. Again, I say, we must submit to that appointment. We must agree with that appointment, no matter what it may cost us, whether a broken hip or whatever. And there are many things that God is using today in order to achieve exactly the same results. He wants us to have an encounter of face to face with God, where that we too have a full revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. God will achieve that in my life if I, like Job and these others, give him the opportunity to do that, if I'm willing to keep the appointments that God has made for me.